Good evening and welcome. This is Chai FM. I'm Mashi Lipsker, and I'm with you for the next hour as we live with the times. In the time of the first Chabad Rebbe, the Chassidim heard him say, Member darf leben mit der Zeit, one must live with the times. Strange statement from his brother, Rav Yehuda Leib, the holy Rav Yehuda Leib. They learned that what the Rebbe meant was one must live with the Torah reading of the week. And we need to live with the energy of the time that Torah reading provides, the insight it provides, speaking to us now. It's for me. It's now. Torah means guide. It's telling me how I need to conduct my life specifically right now. And so God's infinite wisdom contracted into Torah and set out for the weeks of the year has a particular message, not only the Torah reading in general, but as it's divided up into seven, and that each day is Hayom Yom, a very special message for me, for now, in the circumstances that I am in, not only in my lifetime, but today on this day. It's also a particular time because this past Friday and Shabbos was a tremendous Yontif. It was the festival of Shavuos, Shavuot, the festival of weeks, the festival of the time of the giving of our Torah. An incredibly important personal Yontif. As we mentioned last week, the Yontif actually has four names, and it speaks to us so personally on every single level. It's not only the time or the season of the giving of the Torah. It's not only the feast or the Chag of Shavuot of weeks, but it's also the feast, the Chag of the Katzir, the harvest. And it's also Shavuot is Yom HaBikurim, the day of the first fruit offering. And all these names have a message for us. And as we are just days after this, and as we are in the week that follows Shavuot, so many thoughts come to mind. Sinai, and now what? Sinai, the wedding, and now what? So obviously, the wedding, then the marriage. The big party, and then translating your commitment into the daily stuff. As we've often mentioned, the daily stuff, or the way God created people and the world, cycle of life, all of that is so lofty with such incredible potential that although the angels are constantly singing God's praises, although there are levels in creation hidden from us, but very, very present and real. In fact, in the prophets, we read certain things that just boggle the mind, and the Haftarah of the first day of Shavuot is worth looking at. The beginning of the book of Ezekiel. Things that are happening daily, and we don't even know about it because we're living in a world where all that is screened from us. But this world is where it's at. Because God desired a dwelling place in this world where he is hidden and where we search for him and where we discover him and where we add him into what looks like normal, and everything normal becomes elevated and the spiritual and the physical are joined and the physical powers the spiritual and the spiritual powers the physical. And it's all the creation of one God. And the festival that we passed now gave us the Torah. It was a time that was celebrated after 7 weeks of counting, of self-refinement, of self-discovery. It was also a time of harvest, Chag HaKatzir, where the wheat harvest culminated in the first offering in the Holy Temple, made of that new harvest of wheat in the form of 2 loaves of wheat bread. And of course, it was also the beginning of the season of offering the first fruits at the time when we had the temple in Yerushalayim. And these 2 loaves are called the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And all of this needs to be incorporated now into our daily lives. There's a message in all of this for each one of us as we go through our days as humans, in business, in family, interacting, growing, taking care of our bodies, taking care of our minds and our hearts, and spreading light around us, taking care of our souls, and being concerned with the hearts and the minds and the bodies and the souls of the people whom we encounter. We are emissaries of God for every moment, every second that we are in this world, and every moment is precious. And God brings us things to do. He brings us people, He brings us thoughts, He brings us opportunities, and it's an exciting, exciting life if we focus on it in that sort of way. And today was the second to the last day of the Yemei HaMiluim, and tomorrow is the final day of the Yemei HaMiluim. Today was the 11th day of the month of Sivan, and tomorrow the 12th day. And unlike Pesach and Sukkot, which are also, they are the other two of what's called the 3 pilgrimage festivals, the Shalosh Regalim, but they have Chol HaMoed. Those yontifs are 7, or in the diaspora, 8 days long. Sukkot, which is the 3rd of the Shalosh Regalim, is just a short day, a short festival. In the diaspora, 2 days. In Israel, 1 day. And many, many people would make Aliyat Regel. They would go up to Jerusalem, and there were many offerings that had to be brought, things people had promised throughout the year, things people owed to the temple, etc. And there were, thank God, so many people that the week afterwards, in this week we would say the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the Wednesday, Thursday, together with the first 2 days of Sukkot, of Shavuot, made like a Chol HaMoed in a sense. We're still in the festivities. If Shavuot is the wedding between God and His people, then maybe this is a Sheva Brochus. We are certainly, and we need to be, in an elevated frame of mind. And then we're going to go from tomorrow into Erev Shabbos, so the upliftment continues, and then straight into Shabbos. We are indeed in a time where we are connected to Sinai, connected to our commitment to Hashem in a very real way. So it's a special time, and we have to live with the times. A very special week. The marriage. You know, we've mentioned that there are things we need to remember, and they are part of our prayers. And for most prayers, 6 things need to be remembered every day. There are some who remember more. And the first one is to remember the day you left Egypt, your whole life. And the inner meaning of that is that we each have an Egypt. Egypt means, from the word meitzar, constraints, things that are rough for us, things we can't do easily. And God takes us out of our personal exile, our personal constraint, our personal limitations every single day. We just need to, as with everything else, make an effort, make a stretch. And God, in His infinite power and love, helps us over that difficulty. But the desire needs to come from us. The first step has to come from us. It is what we call kamayim haponim laponim, the face you show the water, that's what you're going to see reflected back to you. The face you show heaven, heaven shows you back. And we have this reciprocal partnership with Hashem on everything, in everything. Everything personal, everything national. Each one of us has a mission and a part to play. This is the week of the marriage. We had the ceremony. That was Shavuot. Thunder and lightning and smoke and fire and clouds. And everything in the world stood still. Wow, in awe. The angels didn't sing. The rivers didn't flow. No animal made its sound. No bird chirped or flew. And then things started moving again because God's presence lifted up off the mountain. But something remained. Before Sinai, there was a decree that physical could not become spiritual, spiritual could not become physical. They were two separate domains. But when Hashem himself came down on the mountain, when the Infinite One came down on physical ground, physical earth, that decree was broken. And since then, those from the nether world can rise, and those from the upper world can descend. It's a different cadence. It's a different music to the dance. And what can be achieved is far, far greater. But after the wedding, what are we left with? We're left with the relationship, the partnership. And we said it in the Sheva Brachot. We said it in the marriage ceremony. We spoke about not just marriage, and not just the joy, gila, rina, ditza, v'chedva, all levels of ecstasy and joy. We speak about ahava ve'achava, shalom v'reut. We speak about love. Okay, we like that. We speak about ahava. It's kind of like brotherhood, sisterhood, like a natural relationship that we're working toward. It's like a companionship. Shalom, peace. What is peace? Peace means the joining of two opposites. Re'ut, friendship. All those things now kick in a very real way. In the daily life that God has designed, with minutes and seconds and hours and weeks, can we show that what we've committed to at the wedding is being translated into real life? Is there love for Hashem? What's love? Is there connection, achava? Is there shalom, making peace with opposites? Is there re'ut? Are we his friend? In Shir HaShirim, there are so many beautiful phrases that refer to our relationship with Hashem. There's one that says, Hashem said, I came into my garden, my sister, my bride. Achoti kala. Let's look at some of those terms. What is ahava? Ahava, you can have it between parents and children. It's love. It's a devotion. You can have it between siblings. You can have it from children to parents and grandparents, and to friends. Ahava is a staying power, and hidden in ahava is the idea of unity. I'm here for the long haul. Ahava adds up to 13, as we've often said, and so does the word echad. But when you show ahava, or love, to Hashem, how do you do it? There's only one way that you can really love another. And that is if you understand what they want. You know, there's this teaching that there are five love languages, and that different people feel loved in different ways. They speak about the gift of the love language of gifts. Some people like presents that makes them feel loved. Others spending time. If you really spend time with me, that's all I want. Others, they want words of affirmation. They want you to say that you notice them and that you notice what they're doing. You see them as a person. There's another one, which is acts of service. Like what that person wants, you actually give. If that person is someone who likes flowers, you bring the flowers. If someone who likes steak and chips, that's what you give them. And through bringing something that is meaningful to them, it's an act of service. You're delivering. And in a sense, all of these, of course, apply to our relationship with Hashem, but mostly acts of service. We understand that from the mitzvahs he has given us, where he introduces himself to us and says, here's the connection. The word mitzvah means connection. Here is what I want. I want you to take a physical object and use it for a mitzvah. I want you to honor time in a particular way. I want you to honor people in a particular way. I want you to relate to nature and the world I created in a particular way. The Torah has 248 positive mitzvahs and 365 prohibitions. And through them, we hear what we should and shouldn't do and how to connect to Hashem. Although in today's times, many of them cannot be done. Some can only be done by the Jewish king on behalf of the whole people. Others by a Kohen, a priest, the Levi in the Holy Temple. Many have to do with offerings in the Holy Temple. Many are time-bound mitzvahs, which women, strictly speaking, are not obligated to do as men are, because they need to be free to nurture the family. They need to be free to nurture and uplift and make a home. But there is love. And when you show Hashem this kind of love through acts of service, through hearing, this will make me happy, then we have his love in return, and we have his friendship, his companionship. We have peace, but it's up to us to take the first step, to make the overture. God wants to be our brother. He wants to be our friend. He wants to love us, and he does. He's all these things, but it may be hidden until we take the first step. And we say we want shalom. We want, although we are so far from you, Hashem, we are human and we are limited. But when we do the will of God, suddenly we are not so human and limited anymore, because God joins his infinity to us. And suddenly our success, our absolute happiness, shifts gear, and it's different. And the husband, well, he builds a home. He makes this house. I shouldn't say home, he makes a house. But the wife makes that house into a home. So creation is the house. It's a very nice house. And it's big, and it's got a lot of parts to it. But how can we make this house a home? And so, living with the times, we will look at the parsha that we're reading, which has some very, very beautiful parts. Let's first look at the name of the parsha. The parsha is Nassol, and it's almost always read after Shavuot, sometimes before Shavuot. And in this parsha, we have the inauguration from day one of the month of Nisan. And part of that inauguration, which is detailed in this parsha, are that the 12 princes, the 12 heads of tribes, who we are told were actually the Jewish taskmasters appointed by Pharaoh to force the Jews in Egypt to work harder and to produce the quota of bricks that they had produced when they first started, when they had strength and enthusiasm. And these taskmasters took many beatings because they refused to, they had compassion on their brethren and refused to beat them. And as a reward, Hashem made them the leaders of their tribes. And the word nasol means to count, because the Levi'im, the Levite families, were going to transport the portable temple, the tabernacle, the Mishkan, the sanctuary, were being counted and assigned their particular portions. In this parsha, which is Nasol, which means count, we have some beautiful things, but let's start with the title. Nasol. Nasol, besides count, and there are other words to use for counting, it also means to uplift. We have to make people count. It's not just seeing them there, but whomever we encounter, excuse the pun, we need to show them that they count. But amazingly, the word nasol includes or shares a root with another word, which is nisuin, to uplift, to marry, to uplift, to make her count or him count. When we get married, just on the side, it's called nisuin. And nisuin is not just to be married off, but it contains the word nasol, which means uplift. And that's what marriage should be, to see, to constantly respect and uplift the other. But there's a hint here to marriage in the parsha. First, we have the ending of one piece, which we did today, and that piece has the priestly blessing in it. What is this priestly blessing? God desires his children to be blessed, and he gives the priests the privilege to be the conduits through which the blessing will flow. And he showers blessing upon us, and we say, Amen. And we need to take those blessings and make sure that we behave eternally like his devoted bride. And that's why, following the blessings, in tomorrow's reading, it says that Vayehi biyom kalot Moshe lahakim, on the day that Moshe finished building or putting up or erecting the various parts which altogether became the Mishkan, the tabernacle. You have the word for bride in that pasuk, brides, kalot. A kala is a bride. On the day when Moshe finished, Rashi explains that the Jewish people were like a kala. They were like a bride, hanichneset lachupa, entering into the chupa. And when you think of a young bride, or any bride, about to commit herself to a lifetime with her beloved, that's how we all were on the day that the tabernacle was put up, was inaugurated, was initiated, and the 12 Nisi'im princes began to bring their gifts. So there's a reference to us making a fresh start, being young, strong, beautiful, vibrant, and dedicated. And that's living with the times, hearing the message, sitting up tall, standing up tall, saying, Hashem, I am here. The week after a marriage, that's when life really begins. That's when you unpack what happened at the wedding, you think about it, you discuss it, you enjoy it together. You've prepared for the wedding separately, as the Jewish people did for 49 days, preparing themselves to be a fitting queen, bride for the king of the world. And then the work began. And so it is every year anew. And that's the energy this week. And we've got to look at the parsha. We count. We are uplifted. We are married. We have love, ahava. We have this close relationship, ahava. We have shalom, the joining of two opposites. We're never alone, and we're not weak. Together we can do it. And re'ut, friendship, companionship. And the husband built the house, and we, the wife, are making it into a home, which is his dream, which is what he wanted, which is all he spoke about. He created the world, and it has so many parts, a lot of rooms, a lot of sections. And before he gave us the Torah and married us, Moshe whispered this wonderful, wonderful thing to us. And you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. We are kings. And we are Kohanim. We are dedicated. You know, the Kohen wasn't a farmer. He didn't have a business. His business was connecting the people to Hashem. His business was to teach the people. His business was to bring them closer, to bring offerings on their behalf, to help them. And so it is with all of us. We need to behave in a royal manner, and we need to behave in a manner of Kohanim. And the Kohen is the man of love. And when he blesses us in shul, he says that God commanded us to bless his people be'ahava, with love. And ahava has the same numerical value as echad, one. He's there to bring unity, to actually cultivate the desire to be connected to Hashem. And the Jewish woman, she's a kohenes in the world of God. And this is like the Sheva Brachas week. So let's look inside that original tabernacle, that original Mishkan, where God's presence came to dwell. And there were lots of things in there. But in particular, there were five things that you could call furniture, six things. Two altars, a laver, a water basin, and its stand. There was a special table, a special menorah candelabrum, and there was a holy ark. Wow. What message do these things give us in our journey now to make this world a dwelling place for God? Well, quite simple to see this altar. Why is there an altar? To bring a korban. What are korbanot, offerings? The word korban shares a root with the word karov. To come close. And the first thing is to understand that this is a vehicle, this place is a vehicle through which we can come close to Hashem. But before we can bring an offering, we have to wash our hands from the laver and the stand. We have to know that we are doing this with purity of hands. I'm not doing this so God will reward me. I'm doing this on a personal and on a beautiful spiritual journey to get close to God. So it's about cleansing ourselves or rinsing away anything which might get in the way of this relationship. And this is the marriage as well. We're talking about a human and a godly marriage. And God knows what we're thinking. And so it's no use thinking we can fool anyone. And similarly, in a marriage, we've got to know that God is a third partner in our marriages. So we need to do this with integrity, with honesty, with dignity, with love. So we rinse off, chase away the negative. We then serve. It's another foundation stone of the relationship. Thirdly, we have a menorah. And what's the menorah? It speaks about that the soul of man is a candle of God. The menorah represents seven different types of souls. The different, perhaps, children in our family, different types. The different people we encounter, different people in our family, our friends, our acquaintances. The respect to know that they are a soul and that they are a different soul, each one, with perhaps a different path to reaching the same goal of serving God with integrity and purity. Then there's a table. The table has showbreads on it. That's the physicality. It's our job to take the physicality, and certainly as women in the home, and to make sure that we're using everything in a fitting way that pleases Hashem, that it's kosher, that it's healthy, that it's correct, the pictures on the wall, the books on the shelf, the clothing in the cupboard, the food in the kitchen, everything done nicely but not overdone and used in a way which brings God into the home. And you know, in Pirkei Avot, we read about different crowns. At Sinai, every Jew, for saying we will do and we will listen, got a crown, two crowns. But there are actually four crowns mentioned in Pirkei Avot. And in the tabernacle, these were reflected. And there was a crown of kingdom, and we are a nation of kings, the crown of priesthood. There were crowns. There's so many things in creation that represent other things, and all of us need to take the privilege of Hashem sharing all of these things with us, but knowing that there are deeper and deeper levels. There's the crown of Torah. There's a crown of priesthood. There's a crown of royalty. But then there's a crown that stands higher than all of them, and that is the crown of a good name. A good name. And so the good name crown stands higher than them because it is over all of them, encompasses them, includes them. The crown of Torah is represented in the tabernacle by the ark. And there was a crown, a silver crown on the ark. And the crown of priesthood. Crown of priesthood, the altar. The crown of royalty, the table. They all had these crowns. And the crown of a good name stands higher than all of them. We need to be kings and kohanim and study Torah and live Torah. That will give us, if we really live by Torah, it will give us the crown of a good name. Our soul is God's candle. There's a lot of fire going on here. There was a fire on the altar, the fire from the menorah. Torah itself is called fire, as it says that it was a fiery law from him. And our soul is a fire. And a mitzvah is a candle. And the Torah is light. What is all of this talking about? It's talking about passion. It's talking about being alive and being absolutely infused with enthusiasm every moment of our lives. Because everything in this world has been set up by Hashem. It's like a set table, the physical, which is truly holy. We saw that in the tabernacle, that suddenly there was a physical ark and a physical table, a physical candelabra, a physical fire, a physical basin or laver and its stand. And we need to understand that everything in this world is spiritual, the physical contains the highest spirituality. And we are one with Hashem, with the Torah, and with his mission. This is a week of love. This is a week of showing our love. How do we show Hashem our love? Well, every day in the prayers, there are these six remembrances. And we start with, remember the day you left Egypt all the days of your life. First thing is to remember that life may be difficult, but God is constantly with us, and he is taking us out of our limitations. The day we left Egypt is today. We need to remember it every single day, every single moment, every single generation. There are different restraints and restrictions. And remember in this week of love and onwards that as soon as we remember that he took us out of Egypt, we'll remember what we say at the end of the Shema, he takes us out of Egypt. We make the effort. As in Egypt, Jewish people had to separate from idolatry by taking a lamb and keeping it for 4 days and then slaughtering it. Every day, we leave Egypt. We leave our personal Egypt. And these are very bright times. They're bright times because the energy in the air is one of love. The second of the six remembrances is, remember, be careful not to forget when you stood at Sinai, you stood at Choyrev. And it says there, Ushmoyer nafshecha ma'oid, be very vigilant, lest you forget what your eyes saw, and lest you remove it from your heart. You say, no, I didn't really see that thunder, lightning, God on the mountain, hear the voice of God. And then it says, and tell it to your children and the children's children the day that you stood at Sinai. Because people in this world have a tendency to forget. What happened yesterday was wonderful, but today's a new day. What about today? What happened yesterday uplifted me, but I'm not so uplifted anymore. We have to work at it. It has to come from down here. Make a start, a small human start. Take a step and be very meticulous to know that you will forget otherwise. If you don't do something active, God forbid, you will forget what your eyes saw at Sinai. And what comes next is you'll actually remove it from your heart. Tell your children, because in teaching it, it becomes stronger inside of you. The greatest gift we can give ourselves is to teach someone else. It confirms, it solidifies, it internalizes. It's an amazing gift to teach someone else. Remember your wedding. Tell your children. Keep it fresh. Actively remember. And how will we actively remember? We're going to do it at home. Every Jewish home is called a mikdash ma'at, a miniature sanctuary. And the woman is considered the priestess, the kohenet, in her home. And everything in the home mirrors what was in the tabernacle. You know, the actual mishkan, which means dwelling place, indwelling for God, although he dwells everywhere. The actual holy temple in Jerusalem is modeled on the home of the matriarch Sarah. The matriarch Sarah, not that her home was modeled on the future temple, but that the temple was like her home. And this is the amazing thing that a woman can achieve. What is the goal of this world being built? That God have a home in it. How do we make a home for him? We make a home for him by serving him in our homes. The home is the place where the most mitzvahs can be done. It's an incredible thing. What kind of mitzvahs can be done in the home? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, whose yahrzeit will be in just 3 weeks, Lubavitcher Rebbe of blessed memory, of righteous memory, had many campaigns in his lifetime. And as you know, the Rebbe took his followers and imbued them with a passion to serve. The Rebbe said if he had but a minion, 10 people around him, he would be happy. His passion is that each one of his students, anyone who considers themselves Chabad, would go somewhere else to teach and to serve. And that is how it is that in the last, more than 75 years, because it did start in the lifetime of the previous Rebbe, you have Lubavitchers around the world. You have them on every continent, in almost every country, in every state in the United States, in Canada, and in countries, in cities, in towns. And they are serving. What are they doing? They're living Yiddishkeit. They're an example. They study Torah. They do mitzvahs. They raise a family. And they try and find a niche in the market, and they'll make a class for people. They'll make a celebration for Purim, a Seder for Pesach, invite people to their Shabbos table, make a nursery school. They'll do whatever they can think of. And most of all, when we think of the Jewish home, that's where the most work is being done to make this world a dwelling place for God. And the Rebbe from 1967, when he came out with the first of what we call the mitzvah campaigns, the Rebbe started in the Six-Day War, before the Six-Day War, to ask for Jewish men over the age of 13 to put on tefillin every weekday. And students went out to airports and in hospitals and shopping malls. And the button, are you Jewish? Did you put on tefillin today? Or I put on tefillin today, became popular. And they went around, not embarrassed at all, to say, are you Jewish? Would you like to put on tefillin? Did you put on tefillin today? Then it went to these mobile homes called the Mitzvah Tank, and it moved forward to tefillin, Shabbos candles, a beautiful, easy one. Display Jewish books in your home, holy Jewish books. Where is the Siddur? Where is the Tehillim? Is it stuffed in a drawer at the bottom of a desk, or is it proudly displayed for all to see on a bookshelf, on a coffee table? That is my identity. That is my pride. The Rebbe spoke about little girls from the age of 3 to begin to light Shabbos candles with their moms, before their moms, at the right time and with the right bracha, and yontif candles. What could a candle do? But in his wisdom, the Rebbe knew, and the Rebbe encouraged, every physical thing can create spiritual repercussions, spiritual light, and we are making a home for God, and this is what he wants. He wants these leather boxes on head and arm and wrapped on the arm. For us, it's not something we understand. Then we begin to study, we might know a little bit more. But this is a world of action, Olam HaAsiya. And in our miniature sanctuary, we can light Shabbos candles in the right time with the right bracha. We can tell our friends ahead of time. And these are the shortest days. Just after 5, we have to light our candles. And to fill in every weekday for the men, for the boys over 13, we have no idea how these are butterflies' wings flapping and causing incredible spiritual and practical upheavals throughout the world, positive ones. Display holy Jewish books in your home, said the Rebbe, and ultimately study them, read them, fill your mind with them. Chinuch, educate your children with a pure Jewish education. It's not about, will my kid be the champion gymnast or the champion soccer player? No. Will my child be guided and educated to understand his mission in this world, to understand where to go for guidance? Educate our children so throughout their lives they will know where to go and where to find happiness and meaning and fulfillment. They will know who they are. The Rebbe spoke about kosher and mezuzah and giving tzedakah, not to be translated as charity, but as righteousness. Whatever we earn, 10%, between 10 and 20% should be given away. 10% doesn't belong to us. We spoke about the Kohanim before. They didn't earn. And they, and the Leviim, they would be supported by the people. We need to support those who serve us. We need to support the yeshivas and the shuls, things that make us a community. Torah study was another one of the Rebbe's mitzvah campaigns because, obviously, if you study, you'll know what to do. His very big one was Ahavat Yisrael, acceptance, love of the other, caring about people, make sure they have enough to eat, make sure that they are emotionally cared for, mentally stimulated with holy things, and make sure that they are spiritually uplifted. True love, bring them into your home, hospitality, share with them what you know, a mikveh before marriage, a mikveh on a regular basis brings purity and light and health into the home. Bring guests into your home for Shabbos and for Yontif and for Torah classes. Make sure to remind people to have their mezuzah checked twice in 7 years. And don't forget to do yours. And not only checked that the scrolls are correct, but the way they are affixed also has an impact on the safety, on the protection of the people who live in that house, even when they're not in the house. We need to become aware of what is valuable. All of this makes a home for Hashem. One Jewish home at a time becomes a beacon of light, and it illuminates the street, the next house, the community, the city, the nation, and the world. We have no idea how our actions in this world of action are powerful. That's how God set it up. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it isn't happening. Go back and read the first chapter in Ezekiel and see what his prophecy, what his vision was. There's a lot going on in the world, most of which we are not privy to. Our eyes don't see it, but we trust, and we're inspired, and we're uplifted. And when we say a psalm, we hear the words of King David. I love the Weiss Tehillim because the way those passages are explained, and with the additional meanings and interpretations, it's an amazing thing. You realize how much God loves us. You realize how much there's a yearning in the soul to connect. There's a yearning in the soul to have a life of purpose and mission and focus. And that's wonderful. It's called shalom, to have peace between the spiritual and the physical. And the parsha tells us, naso, uplift. And it's a marriage between God and us. And we are here to serve and here to make this house, this world, a beautiful home for him. Have a good evening.